obviously we're having mic issues this morning, so we're gonna. We're gonna celebrate Mother's Day here in a second, but as I prayed, I know that this day isn't always celebration for everybody, and so I think it's important to acknowledge the pain and just some of the challenge that it is. So I'm gonna read this statement. To those who gave birth this year to a child, we celebrate with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who have experienced loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or runaway, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who have lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who have experienced abuse at the hands of your mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who have lived through driving tests, medical tests, and overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you longed it to be. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on those complex paths. To those who envision lavishing love on grandchildren, yet this dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who have empty nests, we grieve and rejoice with you. Those who are pregnant with new life, both expecting and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart. We thank you for your dedication and hard work. We remember you. I think that's important. So now we're going to shift gears a little bit. And normally, for those of you that are regular attenders here, you know that I have my mom come forward and do something with me. I decided we're not going to do that this year. And so we honor mothers. And but today I have a rare opportunity with the things going on in Haiti that I actually have my sister here. And so we thought it would be fun. My mom's nervous because it might be honor, it might be roast. We'll see how this goes. Even to the point where, so I put this wonderful picture. Boy, I've lost some weight, but that's okay. Notice the background. That background celebrates when my mom became a mother and the wonderful fashion sense that you guys had back then. You got to look at them and go, what were you thinking, right? So anybody, those, your kitchen, nobody's going to confess it. Oh, there we go. Thank you. A few of you. So there you go. Now, before I bring Chris up, I just want to share kind of this overlying premise that drives this entire sermon. And it's Proverbs 1, 7 through 9. It says this. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Only fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my child, to what your father teaches you. Don't neglect your mother's teaching. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and clothe you with honor. Don't neglect your mother's teaching. Now look, all of our moms taught us something. Some of it's good, and if we're honest, and this is why my mom's fearful, probably some of it not so good. But we're going to focus on the good things this morning. We're going to remember some of the lessons our moms taught us. So before I invite Chris to come up and we share our list, does anybody want to share a saying that your mom loved to use on a regular basis? Wait until your dad comes home. Yeah. Whew, that was a good one. Oh, do as I say, not as I do. There we go. Oh, he's younger than you. You're the older. You should know better. Yeah, right. Oh, don't be sorry. Just don't do it again. Ask your father. Because I said so. This is great. All right. Anybody else? Things your mother said. Oh, preach. Children should be seen and not heard. Well, that's not going to happen this morning. Anybody else? Do as I say, not as I do. All right, there's a lot of wisdom right there. So thanks for helping out with the sermon. So I'm going to ask Chris if she will come forward, and We had some great stories, and we're laughing as we prepped us, and not all those stories are going to make it, because I don't think they're probably some, at least the one last night wasn't appropriate, so.
And we don't want to be disowned.
Right. This is Mother's Day, so there is a limit. So we're going to, I might have to stand up with this. So we're just going to, we came up with several sayings, and we're going to, I don't like being on a leash. Holy cow. There we go. And so we're going to, you can't have the whole screen. You might see a whole different view of, I don't think we've ever spoke together.
No, we haven't.
So that, and Christy won't do the heavy lifting like Mom does. Okay, so that's going to be different. So here are our statements that we came up, that we heard from our mother. So.
Okay. If everyone else jumped off a bridge, would you jump too? Now, not so much, because actually Mom was really good, I think, about letting us be individuals. I don't know if we did get that. But the thing I think with all of these is that she backed her things. It wasn't just a saying. She backed them with the Bible. She had God because she had the verses to back up her point of view.
So you're not just arguing against Mom.
No.
You're arguing against God. So when I heard this one maybe more than you. And my sister and I, if you don't have any, we are vastly different people. So most of these statements are probably more toward one than the other. But I think when you look at this, I think this is probably the first teaching of rhetoric that our mother, because obviously this is a rhetorical question. Kids, pay attention to this. If your parents ask a rhetorical question, they really don't want you to answer it. Because I would love to answer those, and that just made it worse. My mom did not like, you know, my wonderful statements that came after this. But like Chris said, all of these really kind of have a biblical foundation. So here's the one that I found for this. Proverbs 13:2. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffer harm. Like Chris said, Mom really instilled with us to carve our own path, to be our own people, and those few times that we did seem to go along with the crowd, I remember you're better than that, you know better than that, and so now, the fun thing now is when she shakes her head and she's like, why aren't you doing it this way? We like to throw this one back in her face and say, hey, you taught us to be individuals, so this is part of your fault. So kids, it does come back around if you want to do that. So this is how I hear it now, so right? This whole idea of becoming your own person. And my mom used this phrase a lot with me, and this one you can own. Follow the beat of your own drummer. Be your own person, right? God handcrafted your personality and all those things. I think we get in trouble, and I think even society, when we try to either be someone we're not, or we push to impress or do things simply because we care about what other people think about so much. And I will tell you, even this yesterday was our conference track meet, and my throwers get so wigged out because they're there and they know what their best is and they compare themselves, right? And they're like, oh, coach, I'm going to be embarrassed. And my standard answer, and this comes straight from my parents, look, you step in the ring, you do you, do the best you can, and that's all I'm asking for. I don't care if you can compete against these people. You do you. And that embarrassment thing and not even trying is such a heavy weight. And so you need to continue to encourage your kids, look, God crafted you. He's got a plan. He made you. So don't follow the crowd. Don't jump off the bridge. Follow that beat of your own drummer.
I don't care who started it. I'm finishing it. We may have heard that one more than once. Might have even gone head-to-head with Mom a few times. I think sometimes I finished it, being more stubborn than my mom.
Okay, wait. But did you just hear this confession? You people think I'm stubborn? I'm number 3 in the family, tied with Mom.
I think, well, part of it is, if our family dynamics is we have 2 eldest and we have 2 babies. And Mom always sided with her counterpart.
I disagree with that. Thank you. Mom's shaking. Yeah, She's agreeing with me. No,
but,
Hop, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, we all know that some of us are stronger in certain points than others. But when it was the 2 of us, Mother
stubbornness is what she's going with. And okay, that's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, and so here's the thing. Our mom had creative ways of dealing with conflict. And parents of small children, feel free to take these home. These are great. So I can remember multiple times having to hold hands with Christy Well, either doing dishes, easy with that, you're not doing that, or doing chores, right? And so you'd be fighting or whatnot, and they're like, hold hands until you're done. You're like, We took this to a different level in my house. So we would actually, because they couldn't get a lot of work done one-handed. So we'd actually get two of my belts, and we would belt our children together. And I don't think you ever did it with Ty, but these two on regular did. So imagine clearing the table and doing dishes, whatnot, while you're belted with your sibling to force them to get along. So feel free, those young parents. It's a great time. But here's the biblical truth here, Romans 14, 19. Let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. How desperate is our world in need of this? I mean, seriously. I mean, I can't even hardly stand going on even, you know, my email and all that, because Yahoo, it's just like people are just fighting all the time. Our politicians are fighting all the time, and the Bible says what? To pursue peace, and I love that. Mutual upbuilding. Here's the thing. You can build someone up without about this much effort, right? I mean, on any given day, you can smile at somebody, you can open a door. Again, I'm in track mode, so even yesterday, congratulating and slapping five with kids that aren't your athletes, just to pour into other people. I don't think we can do this too much. And in a society that we are currently living, having people that are willing to just plug in and encourage and just be God and show love to people is huge. And so, again, this has to do with conflict management and all that stuff, but I think it really starts with people feel good about themselves. I think they're a lot less quick to go there. And so just be building each other up.
And I think a lot of that comes with listening. Even when we were doing that, Mom is a great listener, always has been. And
then you had to sit through the lecture. But yes, well, yeah, I would agree.
That came from the listening. And then this part of it, too, is don't use that tone with me. And tone, the more and more older I get, I've had to really work on tone with Fritz Lynn. Tone is very important. And that wasn't us. I mean, we're allowed talk over each other, and sometimes that tone part with Mom, again, I know I didn't always watch my tone, so it's probably why we heard that a lot.
See, I don't think tone and volume are definitely
the
same thing, because I would have still be in trouble if that was the case. But tone, well, I mean, even tone was the way you looked, right? And so Proverbs 15:4 says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness is in it breaks the spirit. Here's the thing, and I think even as a coach, we talk about these things, and I see it more and more in our culture. I think there is a huge temptation to try to be our kids' friends more than their parent. I don't remember ever confusing that with Mom. I think I view her now as a friend way more than I did. But growing up, and I think Chris agrees, it was Mom. It was not, oh, and when there was a line in the sand, and you knew if you crossed it, there was going to be consequences of that. And I think this phrase in this verse, this gentle tongue, there's a place for that. But there has to be a line. And I think, again, I think it is so needed in today's society. And where do we begin to learn this? It has to start in the home when they're little. Because I will tell you, by the time they're in middle school or high school, if they have zero respect for authority and they have no idea how to talk, and I will tell you, we have teachers here. We have a cop here. You talk to anybody that deals with youth, and it's different now than it was even 10 years ago. And I think because we have not instilled that. Kids need boundaries. And they'll tell you they don't, and they'll tell you they fight against it. But I will tell you, and again, we've been having these coaches meetings about this because we have kids that press those boundaries. And I will tell you, you draw a hard line in the sand, and you lay down those expectations, and when they cross it, they know what's going to happen. They thrive in that. Kids aren't going to tell you that. They want to do whatever they want to do. But I think our society has lost some of this to its own detriment. So watching tone, how do we show respect and all those things was definitely instilled in our family. And again, that whole flip it and all that stuff. And again, I would say we still use sarcasm for a love language, and sometimes we blow it. By and large, though, respect is an important thing.
If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. But she did this one in a way, I think, that we still felt, as long as we kept that respect and that tone, that we could share our opinions. So I think she balanced it really well. it wasn't that we sat around and didn't talk. Because we've had a lot of discussions in our house, and there was nothing off, but there always was that. Again, I think it tied in with the respect part as well, is if you really can't say anything, you know, our kids had that think, was that really necessary? Was that kind? It might be truthful, but did you really have to say it? And I think Mom did. Yes, we heard this often.
So the biblical verse that goes with that, Ephesians 4:29. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those that hear you. Now again, how desperate is our world in need for this? And like Chris said, I mean, there's truth out there, but frankly, it doesn't always need to be spoken. And if we can't do it with kindness and respect, and like I said, we did use a little bit of sarcasm, and I know our family, my current family, the way we talk in our house, not all families talk like that. But I think one of the ways that why Beth and I work well with youth, you know if it's sarcasm versus disrespect. You can bring sarcasm all day long. And I know there are some of you raising your children that sarcasm is that's fine. You do you. But you can tell when a kid's joking with you or a youth's joking with you if they're picking fun or if it's true disrespect. And so that kind of, if you can't say anything nice, it's there. But our society, again, is in desperate need of this. I ate soap. You know, if you're sitting there and you think, oh, poor Todd, it was abused, bring it up. My mom's right there after service. Feel free. I know we did vinegar. All my kids survived those kind of things. But the Bible is clear. We need to learn how to control our tongues. And again, you might be better at it now than you did. But again, it's one of those that I think it has to start when we are young.
Takes a lot of practice.
Right. And some of you might think I don't do it very well now. Think about if my mom hadn't tried at all, how much worse it would be. And notice again in that verse, I see two things here. Again, we see that idea of building up. When God repeats himself in his word, I think he knows because humanity's not really good at it, and also he's serious about it. Every day you have opportunities to build those up around you. Our society and our world is in desperate need of people that are just being encouraging and positive. We can't be enough, so be that. And then it also talks that last thing, give grace. How much grace are you given on a regular basis? We grew up in a house, yes, there was a consequence and those things, but we also got a lot of grace and love. And we knew, again, we had those boundaries. Even with the punishment, we knew that we were still loved. It was that thing, which leads really into that next point.
It hurts me more than it hurts you. Which she did do that one now and then. Probably more to you than me.
I guarantee I heard that one quite a bit. I will confess something. I didn't buy it. As a kid, she would say that, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I got my fair share of whoopings. I mean, without a doubt. And I remember in college, I don't know if I ever shared this, I was sitting in a class, and some child that was raised in some very politically correct, soft household looked at me with concern because I had been abused as a child, and I lovingly looked them in the eye and said, I would be in prison now if my parents hadn't spanked me as much as they did.
I think I was a teenager. I was a teenager,
well,
my last
needed,
one.
You needed it, without a doubt. You didn't get it like I did, but I remember that one.
You
needed it. You got
more.
Lippy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that one. But here's the scriptural reference to this one, Proverbs 29:15. A rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. I would have thought I would have got an amen. Child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. Here, look, it's no fun being this part, a parent in this role. There's none. We want our kids to have look us as friends. We want our kids to recognize our love for us. But there has to be a line, because here's the truth of the matter. And again, we have a cop here and Norm is here. If you don't discipline your children, someone else will. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, the person squinting at them. If our kids don't get disciplined in the home, they show up in court, they show up in prison, they show up down the pipe. And again, I can tell you that all our coaches, we could point to our athletes. Teachers can point to their students that didn't get disciplined at home, that they don't have that bar. And so as rough as it is as a parent to discipline your children, you're not doing them any favors by letting them off the hook. A standard. And the disgrace for their mother, yeah, absolutely. I know when I misbehaved in public, you could read it on mom and dad's face. This one, I believe it now, though. When you have your own kids, you know that, man, you're punishing them. But it hurts you to the core of your being. But parents, we have to. It's our charge right there. It is our charge to raise our children in that way.
And I think for me now with Fritz Lynn, you know, and the way the world is, that really ties into that, because someday he's going to be an extremely strong black man. And just being very conscious of the trouble he could get into just from people looking at him and judging him. And that goes into this next one, too. Life isn't fair. And I think because we were so little when we went to Haiti the first time, we knew life wasn't fair. But we did talk about it in the house, in the home, that life isn't fair. And that changed with sin or whatever, but I don't think we ever had a time in our lives where we knew, well, that just isn't fair. We knew that one wasn't going to fly, at least in our house.
Yeah, and I think I heard that a little bit, but I think we've used it in our house more than we heard it as kids. And I will tell you, again, parents with little ones, stick to your guns on this one. I don't think your kids will entirely like it, but I think you'll wear them down, because they'll know if they come whining to you with it, they'll know what you're going to say. And so here, King Solomon had this one figured out. You know, kidding aside, Ecclesiastes 9:11. Again, I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to the skillful, but time and chance happen to them all. Now, I'm guessing most of you have never even remembered reading that, but that's exactly what that verse is talking about, right? Life is not fair. Here's the thing. Sometimes you don't get what you deserve. But the flip side of that is true, right? Sometimes you get good stuff you don't deserve, and you don't go whining to anybody at that point that life is not fair. And I don't believe in karma, but in the life, it kind of balances itself out. We just get all self-centered when something goes the way we don't want it, and so we look at that. Here's the thing. We just need to continue to just stride into it and trust that God's at work. He is faithful. He is trusting. And you know what? Life's not meant to be fair. Again, what Christ did on the cross wasn't fair. Mm-hmm. The fact that he lets us have a relationship with God and our sins are paid are not fair. You don't want what you deserve. And if we can remember and live it like that, it just, for me, that just changes your entire perspective on things. And it's a healthier perspective, which really is a great segue to this next point.
Which sounds better in French? C'est la vie, you know, that's life, or American? It is what it is. And again, mom being raised with her, you know, strong Bible, that God was sovereign, I think this is one that you look at different as a kid than as an adult. But there are parts of life that's just...
And I think this is a newer one. I don't remember this as a kid, per se, but this is one I've definitely heard in the last couple years. Yeah, c'est la vie.
C'est la vie.
I remember that, so that, you know, those two phrases, c'est la vie and débrouiller, which it means make do, those are two definite phrases we heard growing up. But there's wisdom in that. Again, it's a life perspective. Listen, again, Solomon nailed this one in Ecclesiastes as well, 1:9. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Sometimes we need to just be reminded that, you know, this too shall pass. Whatever you are dealing with currently, it's not the end game. It's not what always will be. And so much of it, there's nothing you can do about it. So when we waste a lot of energy on anxiety and worry and stress and all that stuff about something that we really can't do anything. So just to be able to, it is what it is. And I think as I get older, there are less things that really amp me up. There are fewer hills that I'm willing to die on. And I think because of that, at least for me, it just feels like I'm way quicker to just let God deal with things. Again, in my 20s and early 30s, probably not as much. Pushing 50, it's like, man, life is too short. It is what it is. And just trust in what God's doing.
This next one is, I'm praying for you. My mom does that all the time. For my kids, I'll take it one step further, especially our college kids. If it's a big decision or a little decision, they know mom's going to say, have you prayed about it? And the answer no doesn't fly very much. But to hear, yeah, mom and dad both, but mom, you know mom's praying for you, that makes a huge difference to know that she's advocating for us. And that whole, one, another one was, you know, parenting is a lifetime sentence. So they wanted more children than us. They got two, I think they knew.
They couldn't handle them.
Yeah, God, it would have cut into our prayer time.
God knew.
She wanted to add time to pray for three of us. Yeah, we got to have our prayer time. Thank you very much.
Yeah, besides I love you, I think hearing I'm praying for you is probably as important. And there's a lot of verses that say that, so I didn't pick one. You can do that. And as I say here, I don't think it's mere chance that Chris and I are both sitting up here representing over 40 years of ministry on accident. We all, both of us know a lot of people that didn't make the cut, that burned out or failed or whatever reason. And I know one of the big reasons that both of us have had, I've been lucky enough to have some incredible mighty prayer warriors in our corners and leading the pack have been both of our parents. So thank you and keep it up. And I will tell you again, one of the best thing you can do for your kids, whether they're figuring it out, whether they're struggling, our God listens, our God hears, and to pray and pray and pray and pray. And I will, you can chat with my mom after the fact if you want. I'm sure there were times when I was a teenager in college that she shook her head and wondered what the heck, and she just continued to be praying for me. And like I said, I say tongue in cheek that, you know, if I hadn't been spanked and prayed for and all that stuff, I would be in prison. But I don't know. I know that I challenged my parents on a lot of different levels. And so the fact that God made me a pastor proves his sense of humor, but also I think proves he answers prayer. So here's the thing. All of these little nuggets of wisdom straight from the Bible are for each and every one of us. Yeah, we can celebrate mom, but especially those younger ones. Here's the thing. It is our job. Every person here has influence over a young person to pass this stuff on. Influence is not it's not a heavy weight. Influence is a gift. Don't squander it. Growing up hearing these things weren't always my favorite things. There are times I know that mom felt like she was talking to a brick wall because she would tell me.
We actually had numbers. I mean, they weren't literal, but we'd say, oh, here comes, you know, lecture number 229 again.
Did you ever know that we had your numbered?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Ooh, she's got the mom face going.
She does. Ooh. I don't know if we're in trouble or not.
That was toward you.
Oh.
But here it is. That stuff doesn't fall on deaf ears. So parents, keep loving. Keep speaking the truth. Keep sharing. Because I will tell you, as a man of 47 and a pastor, stick with it because it matters. It gets through. Don't grow weary. Keep pouring yourself. Keep pouring that love. Keep pouring God's truth into the youth around you because they need it and they definitely someday will appreciate it. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father God, we thank you for mothers. We thank you for this opportunity to honor our moms. And just, again, Chris and I thank you that we had a mom that spoke your truth in so many different ways and prayed for us and continues to do so, Lord. And so those moms that might be struggling, just encourage them to continue to strive and to be on the moms that you've called them to be. Help them see their children as gifts, but also as things that they need to be poured into. As we celebrate today, just be in the midst of all of that. And we thank you and praise you for all that you do for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.